Hello! This is Anthony from the We Have Issues podcast, a weekly show in which two lifelong friends overcome the various obstacles that life throws at them in order to make comic books together. We talk about monsters, we pitch movies, and we hold each other accountable as we try our best to make comics that people might actually want to read. Join us every Wednesday at youtube.com/WeHaveIssuesPodcast or find us on Spotify and everywhere else podcasts can be found.
Maddie.
Yeah, I'm Amber.
And we're Witches Talking Tarot.
We are the weirdest
mystery. Like a song, like a sand and stubble.
Flip the switch and let the cauldron bubble.
Sam.
Wow.
Hi everyone, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Amber.
And we're
Witches Talking Tarot.
And today, we're coming at you from the car. That's why there's no video.
It's late tonight, y'all.
It is very, very late tonight when we're recording this, and we are running behind, needless to say, but we're really excited to talk about
yes.
The Morrigan.
Yes, and Kulain.
That's yes, how you say yes, yeah. Is that how you say it?
I looked it up, yes, because I was like, I don't even.
So Kulain. The great goddess, the Morrigan and Kulain.
The great warrior.
The great warrior. Yes. Now, I thought this myth was really interesting because it reminded me very much of the one myth. I think it's also Irish.
Are you thinking about, yes, it is the Celtic myth of, she's got the cauldron. Why can't I remember
yes,
her
and
name?
She changes.
Caradhwyn.
Yes,
because she changes in all those things during the chase.
Yes.
It reminded me of that, but like, also this myth reminds me of like so many ill-fated love stories.
Right.
You know, the person that, yeah, anyway, we'll get into it. But
so,
yeah, I'm excited.
Did we want to cast?
I think so.
Okay.
Because I feel like we need to cast the Morrigan,
mm-hmm.
and I just really I don't feel like anybody other than the Morrigan and Kulain or
uh-huh.
Anyway, I don't think either anybody more needs to be cast. What
I
about
don't
you?
Think so. There's not really more in the story that I read. I mean. So, for me, the Morrigan, obviously, I imagine a very, very fiery redhead. That's just me. Some people see her with dark hair.
I see her as Xena the Warrior Princess.
You know what? I'm okay with that. I will not argue.
Like, I can't remember the actress's name. Lucy Lawless. Thank you.
She is gorgeous.
She is gorgeous. And if she was just, you know what? Nowadays, she is slightly paler, so I don't even have to, like, current era, her skin tone,
uh-huh.
on the rest of her as, you know, the warrior princess, that is the Morrigan for me, hands down, 100%. Sure, she can have, like, a red wash in her hair, you know what I mean? Where it's that black, but when you get
well,
it
well, I've seen
sunlight,
her with red hair. I have seen her. She played in I think it was like a Roman show or something like that, but
I've seen her with red hair as well when she was in this one episode uh-huh. of a show I like.
But it's like dark hair that has that red tint to
yes,
the sun.
That's exactly what I meant by a red wash, where it's like dark, but when it's caught in the light, you can really see the red.
Lucy you know? Lawless, a Xena Warrior Princess, the awakening of my bisexual soul.
I know.
She
I
is
didn't even
beautiful.
Do that on purpose. It's just. That's how I see the Morrigan. Like,
uh-huh.
bangs and every... I mean...
Oh, yeah.
The only
she
got to
do the call. Oh,
yeah.
My God. My sister and I used to run around the house doing the Xena Warrior call, and my mom would laugh at us.
Dude, but that makes it so much more perfect because of the fact that the Morrigan, in her triple deity, you know, aspect and whatever,
uh-huh.
you know, she does deal with death, and as we'll see in the myth, there's this overlap with Banshee lore, because Banshee lore partly comes from the Morrigan, and the Banshee is that mournful call, and so then you say the Xena thing, and I'm like, oh yeah, this is even perfect.
Oh yeah,
more
she's
got
to do the, like, I can't
yeah,
do it. I refuse to do it. Okay, I'm so glad you did that, because I was like,
I wasn't sure if I was remembering
I
right.
can do it, I'm just embarrassed. It's like, la 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 la.
Yeah, I was like, I couldn't remember if I was doing it.
Dude, my husband and I watched the first season of Xena, and he had never seen it before.
Oh,
and the
God,
first,
he made fun of it so bad.
The first episode, Xena does this move where she like hits this guy in the neck, and she's like, "I just cut off the blood flow to your neck."
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And my husband, Bryson, was like, "I can't." I'm like, "Yes, you can. It's badass. It also ties into Hercules. Like, you have to watch it."
I know. That's why I watched it, because my best friend of this, like back in the early 90s when I lived in Delaware, Christy, her mom was in love with Kevin Sorbo.
Oh, yeah.
So I saw every episode of Hercules, including the ones where Xena's like, she comes on as a guest, I'm pretty sure. So then when she got her own series, Christy and I were like, fuck yeah, woman power.
Oh my God, I love her. Gabrielle, exactly, dude. And you can't tell me that they were okay.
Oh, they were totally.
They were totally gay.
Like, I get where you're. I still don't remember it that way because they always had male love interests.
Yeah.
But okay, so it's funny because I'm gonna go like, I'm gonna bring it into this conversation I had with my daughter earlier. So my youngest was, she told me that she memorized the entire speech of Jake Gyllenhaal to Heath Ledger in Brokeback Mountain.
That's gay. No, I'm just kidding.
I know, right? She goes, "Have you seen Brokeback Mountain?" And I was like, "No." And I said, "It's not because of like all the hype about oh they're gay and whatever,
right?
You know, because even back
then,
well,
to be fair, back then that was very ahead of its time.
It was. It truly was. And I wanted to be clear that that's not why I haven't seen it yet. You know, it came out back when I was having kids. There was no streaming service. I had Blockbuster and babies and a husband. And the only time that I went to a movie theater, it was either a children's cartoon movie, because we were taking the kids to it, or it was one of the very, very, very rare occasions that my husband and I got to go on a date. So, like, it was never going to be a movie that we had to, like, somebody was giving up something. Like, we always agreed on the movie and those, because we didn't get to get out like that, you know what I mean? The closest we got was Blockbuster, and honestly, we were very not wealthy, and so, you know, our five Blockbuster choices for the week had to keep the kids busy so I could clean the house, you know what I mean?
No, I totally understand.
So, yeah, there was no spending our entire Blockbuster budget on a new release movie that I wanted to see. I just couldn't do that. So, and now that I have streaming services, I still haven't seen it because of the fact that the name Brokeback Mountain makes me think of Cold Mountain, which horrified me and I will never watch again. And that's why I haven't seen Brokeback Mountain. But like, we were talking about the speech and she was like, you know, I was like, so since I haven't seen it, this is all just conjecture out of my own mind, but is it a situation where they're both gay, for real gay, like absolutely wholeheartedly gay, cannot live as gay men, but they find that in the cowboy life they're able to have that? Or is it a situation where historically throughout the eons before Christianity took everything over, human relationships did not exist within these parameters that Christianity has given it? And so in other timelines, in other ways of life, you had multifaceted relationships and you could have a sexual loving relationship of somebody of the same sex and still want to have a wife and be married and procreate with that woman. And it was okay and there was nothing wrong with it. And I just put out there, conjecturally speaking, that perhaps the Heath Ledger character was truly like an individual like that, that like, he wasn't married because he had to be married to pretend that he was a normal straight man. He was married because he truly cared about that woman as a person.
Yeah.
And then he also truly cared about Jake's character because they spent so much time together. They developed an emotional relationship and they had a sexual relationship because human needs are what human needs are, and they're all alone out there for so long as cowboys. Now, this, again, this is all conjecture from me.
It's honestly, it's a pretty good movie. I honestly feel bad for the wife of Heath Ledger. I think it was Heath Ledger's wife. Because there's, like, this scene where she wants to do it with him, and he wants to do it, or he's wanting to do it, right? And he flips her over and does it that way. And she knew. You know what I mean? Like, it's a really intense movie. It's very...
That's hurtful for her, but I get it. And
yeah.
You know, it makes my conjecture less plausible, but without having seen the movie, because I've been thinking recently about these things, about how Christianity has put all these labels on human relationships that didn't used to have them.
He flipped, what the fuck am I talking about? It was ahead of its time. Why am I repeating he flipped her over? I already established that.
Maybe it was hot for everybody else but her.
It could have been.
It wasn't, though, because it wasn't meant to be.
It was sad.
Without seeing it, I'm sure it was sad, because it was meant to be sad. It was meant to show you
that he longed for his lover and not her. Right. It's a good movie. Like, yeah. I highly recommend it.
I will watch it.
People used to make fun of it so horribly.
They did. But that's not why I haven't seen it.
No, if it had come out
now. I'm sure that's why my husband hasn't seen it.
Oh, I'm sure.
And that's why I haven't seen it, because... usually we watch movies together, you know.
If it had come out now, no, I don't think people would be making fun of it.
Oh, no. Absolutely.
It was good. Anyway, back to the story. So who do you want to cast as her not lover?
Okay, so we just had, but yeah. What if Heath Ledger was...
I am down, because I was literally going to say that. I was literally going to say Heath Ledger. I don't want to cast the other guy.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah. I want to save him.
That's fine.
But I'm down with
Heath Ledger. I'm going to make the bad joke of, well, Heath Ledger's already dead, so it works for this.
It does.
It does. Oh. And I'm sorry, it's bad. I actually love Heath Ledger. Like, I don't like Jake Gyllenhaal, but I love Heath Ledger.
I'm going to be real with you. I'm not a big fan of Heath Ledger, but I like him in Brokeback Mountain. He did really good.
I fell in love with him in 10 Things I Hate About You, and Heath, there aren't 10 Things I Hate About You.
So the story starts, like, what, it's the night before
I missed an opportunity to quote the movie.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'll do that in the minute.
I wish I could quit you. Is that what you were going to say?
Nope. Oh. I was going to say... what I hate the most is how I don't hate you at all.
Oh, no.
That's her poem, is 10 Things I Hate About You, and it's, I hate the way you this, and it basically it's how she loves him.
Okay,
and,
like, secondhand embarrassment for reading that out loud at your school. Okay, I would die if any...
it's so great, because she, like, starts sobbing and runs out of the room, because she's looking him dead in the eye when she's like... I hate that I don't hate you at all.
Okay, but can you imagine being your age and remembering that shit and, like, just laying in bed like...
I am.
I hate myself.
I have those moments with other things.
Me too.
Not that.
But anyway, so this story begins, like, the night before a battle, I believe, right?
It starts the night before a battle.
Yes. So the Morgan approaches, what's his name? I want to call him Cthulhu.
Cthulain. I know, that's why I looked up how to say the name, because I was like, I don't get it. It's Cthulain. Just try that.
Cthulain. Okay.
Yeah, that's
so
the
she approaches guy. Him, and she's like, damn, he's hot. Like, she's really, like, feeling him. She's, like, wanting to feel him, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
This motherfucker turns her down. How are you going to turn her down?
Well, it's... okay, look. You say, how are you going to turn her down the night before battle, right? A, he's so preoccupied because he is to his core.
Uh-huh.
Like, I've been thinking about this question, so I have an answer now. He has been thinking, like, to his core, Cthulain is a great warrior, okay? To his core, he is going to defend the lands that he has sworn to protect against Queen Maeve's armies.
Uh-huh.
Nobody is going to stop him from his task, right? Because
honestly,
he is born to be this warrior. He is born to live and die for his land, right? Mm-hmm. So even when a goddess who is not hiding her true self from him at all approaches him on the night before battle and says, "Hey, baby, I want you. I want you bad."
Is that your sex voice?
No.
Okay.
I mean, like, I think that was my English accent interpretation or impression of Austin Powers,
actually. Oh! Well, but, you know, you say that, and I think that's what attracted her to him in the first place.
Exactly, but, like, and that actually makes, like, that makes it even better, because, like, it's not that he dismissed her because she's a goddess and not worthy of him or mm-hmm. something. He doesn't even see her for what she is, because he is so focused on the task of winning this battle, and I agree that his focus, his intent, his passion for winning this battle for the land that they both are on the same side of.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I'm pretty sure she's on the same side as him in this. Like, she is also working, like, he's one of her people. She's not of Queen Maeve, who's the right. attacker. She's, like, they're on the same side. And that, I agree, is probably what attracted her. But, and, you know, again, it's, he is, like, so focused that he doesn't even see her for what she is.
Well, and, you know, of course, she's pissed.
Right,
because
she's
a goddess. Scorned.
Of course, yeah.
So,
and she wants his attention.
So she's not too happy about that.
No, and she's like, I'm going to fuck your battle up.
Yeah, so the next day,
she turns into an eel, which is crazy.
Right. The next day, there's a big old battle, and the first animal that the Morrigan turns into is an eel, and she trips him in the river.
Yes, she's an eel in the river, and when he's crossing the river to get across to the ford, he is tripped by her as an eel in her eel aspect,
and he injures her,
so he's able to get away. But I also find that interesting because I read her name. One of her epithets is Morrigan at the Ford.
Uh-huh.
And in this story, she's disrupting him getting to the Ford. And I think it relates directly, you know. But, you know, he gets past her, and now she is a bull or a cow next, right?
Right. Yes. Right. So she is,
leads a herd of cow, yes.
Towards him.
And... yeah.
How the fuck does he get, like, the cows out of the way?
He throws a stone.
Oh, a stone.
And breaks her leg.
Yes.
And so she goes down, and she's no longer leading the herd, and they're like, wait, like, the spell has been broken. So
what
they're
are
like,
we doing,
what the fuck?
Right?
And I do want to just point out, I love how cows show up here.
Right, right. I do, too. I do love that. So she turns into another animal. One last one, right?
Well, she is, so he breaks her leg, so he's able to go through and win that battle, right?
Uh-huh.
So after this battle, he's tired, he's weary, he's slightly injured because he tripped on an eel, and then some cows fucked with him.
I'm sorry, did she turn into three animals? Or was it just the two animals and then the old lady?
So the first is the first old lady. So she's milking a cow.
Yes.
And he comes up to her while she's milking a cow.
Uh-huh.
And he's drawn to her in the aspect of her as the old woman milking the cow. And he goes over to her and he starts up a conversation. And she's like, oh, you sweet thing. Like, oh, you're so lonely and you're tired from battle. Would you like a cup of milk? And he accepts the cup of milk and he blesses her for offering him the milk. And in doing so,
He heals her wounds
because he has failed to realize
that
the old woman has a fucked up eye and a fucked up leg from where he injured her when she was the other animals.
Uh-huh.
So then he blesses her and she's like, have a good night. And he's like, have a good night. And then the next morning, he's riding out to battle and she is a different old woman. And she is washing bloody armor, and in stories of the Morrigan and just the Morrigan herself, one of the aspect of her as, you know, the bringer of death, the way that she's compared to Valkyries and Banshees, or the way that she's the beginning of Banshee lore, so to speak, is if you guys listened to our Banshee episode last fall, I think, you heard us talk about they wash the mourning garments. Well, the Morrigan, when a soldier sees the Morrigan washing bloody armor, he knows he's going to die in battle.
Mm-hmm.
And now, in one version of this that I read, his name was actually on the armor, and in the other version that I read, it was not.
Hmm.
But either way, she doesn't tell him, because, like, you know, at this point, she's just like, nope, you dead. You fucked me, or you didn't fuck me.
Right.
And, yeah, now I'm done with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he goes into battle, having seen the omen. And again, I think one of the things, because he doesn't stop to question it, right? And he lives in the land where this lore exists from, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so part of me thinks that there's this huge, like, I think the message is, like, the fact that he's not paying attention enough started the whole problem, right?
Right, exactly. He's kind of ditzy. Like, he's a good warrior, but not a good mind.
Right, because, like, he's not paying attention to an omen. He's riding into battle past an old woman, washing bloody armor.
Yep.
In a society where your goddess of death washes battle armor as an omen that you're going to die in battle.
Right. He's not paying attention. Like, he's just so hyper fixated, I think.
I agree. I think he is. I think he is. So he goes into battle and he's not doing well. And he's not dead yet.
Uh-huh.
But he uses some kind of binding to tie himself to a tree.
Okay.
To make himself appear upright still so that oncoming enemies might think twice before approaching him. Because, like, if they see him on the ground, they're going to come up and finish the job, right?
Okay, okay. I can see that.
So he's tied himself to this pole or tree. And a black crow lands on his shoulder.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the Morrigan as the third animal.
Oh, okay, okay.
Because as the harbinger of death, she is often pictured as a crow. Black crow to carry soldiers, just like a Valkyrie, from what I understood, to carry soldiers to their death from battle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's how I understood it. I don't know if you understood it that same way.
No, I get it. Like, I totally agree with you. 100%. And I think that was a really fun story. And it did remind me very much of the Caradwyn story.
Yes,
it seems that a lot of myths involving the gods, specifically Celtic myths, got to do with the chase Celtics. And the turning different animals.
And, you know, I wonder, like, so is that why the Hellenics have Zeus turning into so many different animals? Because I don't... I can't think of, other than the victims of the gods and goddesses in Hellenic lore, there aren't many other deities that regularly shapeshift outside of Zeus, right? Or am I remembering this wrong?
I'm trying to think, because I know Zeus is, like, a top shapeshifter, but I feel like you said, other than the victims of the gods, because I was going to say that bitch turned into a tree, but she was running away from Apollo. And then, like, there are several instances where people are running away from the gods shapeshift, or the gods shapeshift, you know, chasing people.
Right.
But,
Yeah. No, but, I mean, I agree. You're right. Like, in the Celtic lore, it seems to happen the most. Because, like, I was thinking about that because, like, as I was reading about the different Morrigan things, I was like, that really does remind me of specifically what we read about
Caradwyn.
Yeah. But also it kind of reminds me of Rhiannon because there are the versions of the story where she and her boy both turn into horses.
Yeah.
Or both started out as horses, or shit. I don't remember, but there's horse transformation.
Horse transformation for sure. Like, it's definitely a thing, which makes sense, I think, because the Celtic deities originate from
the Fae. Because yep. what I read, the Morrigan is part of the Tuatha De Danann. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I sent that to you as well. Okay. So, like, Fae shapeshift.
Yeah. You know, yeah. No, I mean, that is a good point. And, I mean, guys, I wish there was a happier ending to this story. But I think we started off by saying, like, ill-fated love story.
Right. Because there's not always happy endings when it comes to the mm-mm. gods, unfortunately. They are quite cruel at times.
They are. And, like, here's the thing, but, like, if you equate, like, because, okay, so if this was a Norse story, right, uh-huh. and he dies in battle, then it becomes a happy ending because the Valkyries carry him off to Valhalla, right?
Right.
I don't know enough about the Celtic afterlife to know one way or the other how positive right, dying in right. battle is, right? Because mm-hmm. They're very spiritual people. They're very much, you know, about working with the liminal and the other side and all that. But, like, is dying in battle. I really don't know enough there to know. But one thing I forgot to mention at the beginning, but just in case anybody cares, Cuchulainn, the great warrior, is a son of Lu, the god. Yeah, okay. The god who is like a jack of all trades.
Yes,
but not a master of none, because he's actually a master of all of those trades. We did it. He was one of our first Celtic episodes. No, yes. Rhiannon was our.
No, I feel like we mentioned him at some...
Did we do him before Rhiannon? I don't know, but I know we covered Lu's story as his entrance into the Tuatha De Danann, because yes. Tuatha De Danann, like, you're not just born in, but you might be just born in, but Lu had to work his way in,
right,
and I think...
Exactly.
Right, and because he had to work his way in, I feel like is why Cuchulainn is not Tuatha De Danann. But I wonder, because the Morrigan knows his father, did she, like, watch him grow up and that's why she loved him?
So creepy.
Yeah, that is creepy, but...
Could be. I mean, you know, it was a thing.
Right, because, I mean, she's a goddess, right? So she's timeless.
Right, exactly.
So, like, you know, is it possible that, like, she watched this great warrior and she, like, she knew he was going to go die in battle, so that's why she approached him in the first place?
Uh-huh.
Because she is, like, one of the Celtic fates. Oh, my God. She already knew before she ever asked him to be with her. She knew he was going to die. Oh, my God. Did she know?
Did she know she was trying to bless him and now he was a fucking idiot and didn't realize?
Yeah. That's what I think. Wondering.
Yeah.
I don't know. I hadn't thought about it until we were, like, kind of discussing it. That's what I love about, like, discussing the myth and, like, kind of seeing the deeper part, like, talking mm-hmm. about it with
yes,
you
I do
and getting
that.
Through. But
myth episodes are easily my favorite episodes.
I know. And also, like, not gonna lie, hot-ass cougar coupling of Lucy Lawless with young Heath Ledger.
That is true. Like, and he is attractive in Brokeback Mountain. I like him with blonde hair.
I do. I like that. What do you mean? But I mean, he's got blonde hair.
Does he have blonde hair in 10 Things I Hate About You?
I mean, it's like, no, it's like that 90s, like, I dyed it blonde and my roots are brown, but the lower, it's like two-tone, I think. I don't know. Like, to me, it's not dark brown, I don't think.
I like that version of his, that genre of him.
Yeah.
Because he played the Joker, and he did the Joker too.
He did.
Too fantastically.
I agree.
You know, that is part of why he passed away.
Yes.
But I actually, in school, had to do, we talked about him, and there's a condition. It was when I was in my theater class, and we talked about 90-10, and it's 90% your character, 10% yourself, and if you don't keep that 10%, and it blurs, and you become 95% your character, or 99% your character. That's how actors end up losing themselves in roles, and it's a literal mental health, almost split personality thing that happens.
Well, right, because, like, you it's your job and you want to master your trade, exactly. right? So how do you master your trade? You become the person
exactly,
you're
which
to
is
portray.
So it affected Heath Ledger horribly because he had that mental illness that came with the job. Johnny Depp shows symptoms of that mental illness when it comes to Captain Jack,
yeah.
but not.
And his oral health.
Sorry. Yeah.
I'm
no,
sorry.
Seriously. He got the tattoos. He got the teeth. Like, he is Captain Jack.
Hey, Johnny, do some oil pulling.
I think that the difference is Johnny went full ape shit with Jack Black or John, with Captain Jack, and he became 95.5, whatever. Like, he got that thing. It wasn't such an evil role.
Right. I was going to say, like, Heath went 98% in mm-hmm. on an actual psychopath.
Psycho,
like,
yeah.
Like Captain Jack Sparrow is, like, the fun kind of psychopath. Like,
right.
we might go dancing out in the rain, or we might, like, threaten to murder you to save you so I can make $5. You know, like, yeah. he's fun crazy.
Dude,
the Joker blew up a hospital, right?
Yeah, the yeah. Joker put one, he gave, like, there was like two boats, and on each boat, he gave them a button.
Oh God,
you
that's
blow
right!
Mine.
Oh my God, I forgot.
So I do love a good psychopath when it comes to fiction. When it comes to fiction and stories, I love a good psychopath. But dude,
if you're
just,
embodying it, and yeah, you embody like
that type. Well,
really
and you're scared
well.
Of yourself because, and that was one of the things like that I read or that we talked about in my class was like it was so bad he was almost scared of himself that he was going to lose control and fully become this character. And it was like, it was a whole like class period that we discussed what happened to him because it had happened to him recently.
Right. Yeah. You know? No, and I felt so bad for his wife, Michelle, whatever. She's from Dawson's Creek and I hated her when she was on Dawson's Creek. And actually his passing made me completely change my view on her.
Really?
Yeah. I know that's weird to say, no, but it did. So. Like, because, like, okay, I will fully admit, as a younger individual,
mm-hmm.
there was a lot of media that I could not watch because I was so insecure about my own appearance.
Uh-huh.
It was hard for me. Like, I told Dustin this, actually, like, because we were talking about Buffy the Vampire Slayer,
mm-hmm.
and I love the movie with Christy Swanson.
I do love that movie.
Yeah, but I never could get into the show with Sarah Michelle Gellar. And it's partly, a huge part of it is because I was so insecure about my own appearance.
Mm-hmm.
There were certain characters that, like, I just couldn't watch because even though it shouldn't have made me feel bad about myself because it had nothing to do with me.
Right.
As a young lady who thought I was ugly and overweight and mm-hmm. all these other things, like, watching these girls who are pretending to go through the same outcastness that I went through in school.
Right.
But then, like, they're so pretty and they're so this and,
right.
and they're able to make friends with these people. And it's like that, it's, as I say it out loud, part of me goes, wow, like, little me was mad that these pretty girls were stealing Ugly Duckling story over here.
No, I get it. It's zero representation.
Right, because, like, mm-hmm. I'm over here going, like, this is my life, but it's not, because I'm, like, and I think part of it was me thinking that an attractive person couldn't deal with the same, I hate to say bullying, but wouldn't deal with the same bullying that I dealt with in school. But I think as an older person, I really think it was my own insecurity. It was, mm-hmm. this person is pretty and I don't think I'm pretty and I don't want to sit here and absorb their image in my face.
How shitty your life is when you're, yeah, I get you.
Yeah, like, it almost made me feel worse about myself. And mm-hmm. I realized that, like, now I know that I avoided those things because of my own insecurities, mm-hmm. not because of any fault with those shows or whatever.
Yeah.
But Dawson's Creek, the girl that is Heath Ledger's wife, she was on that show.
Mm-hmm.
And I hated her. She was Dawson's girlfriend at one point, mm-hmm. and she was like, whatever. And I hated her because I had a crush on James Vanderbeek.
Yeah.
You know, so when they add this girl to the show who's very much like my aesthetic even, because short, blonde, Like, she was much bigger than...
I'm sorry to laugh. I'm just like, anything else?
Yeah, I'm like, I'm looking for the way to say, like, you know, what's her face on Dawson's Creek?
I get the one
that married Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Her. She played Joey on Dawson's Creek, but she was tall and skinny. She's very skinny. Michelle, whatever her name is, that married Heath Ledger, she's a more full-figured individual. Like, she wasn't fat or overweight on Dawson's Creek, but she's the short, full-figured girl with blonde hair. And I was like, I'm the short, full-figured girl with blonde hair, but I would never get James Van Der Beek. You know what I mean? And I just kind of hated her, resented her. And then, like, she married, I found out she's married to Heath Ledger, and I was like, that's cool, whatever, don't care, still love Heath Ledger. And then when I found out about his passing, I was just like, I started reading on some of the stuff, and I was like, man, she went through hell. Like, I just, yeah, anyway, I've grown up. That's the point of that. I've grown up. Unlike Ku Olayne, who died in battle, and I guess Heath Ledger, who was appropriately cast because he also lost his battle. And I don't say that to be ironic or shitty. I'm like trying to be genuine and like bringing it all full circle to a close. Because that was the myth. That's the end of the myth. Yeah. There's not more other than where Ku Olayne went after he was taken to the other side by the crow, which, if you want to hear more about crows, check out our last episode. And otherwise,
are there any myths that you would like us to cover? Let us know in the comments if you're watching on YouTube. Don't forget to like and subscribe.
Oh, yeah, we forgot that. And if you're our patron, like Pam,
Melissa,
Victoria,
and Death by DVD,
we appreciate you. And if you're not, you can go to patreon.com/witchestalkingtarot to get in on all that wonderful fun right after you like and subscribe wherever you're listening.
You can find us on Instagram and Facebook at Witches Talking Tarot. We're also on Threads at Witches Talking Tarot.
And we are on the X as Classiest Witches because we're the classiest witches you know.
Thanks for sitting with us for a spell.
Bye.
Hi there, I'm Dustin. Do you have a comfort show that you always go back to? Or perhaps there's a TV series you haven't seen in a while and wonder if it's still any good? Well, welcome to the Rewatch Recap, a show where friends and I will queue up an older TV show we've seen and then give a breakdown with commentary of how we feel watching it now, and making fun of it if it doesn't hold up, of course. Dropping episodes weekly, it's easy to rewatch along with us. We'll be focusing on shows from most any era, so suggestions are always welcome. It's sure to be fun, so be sure to check in with us every Monday on the Rewatch Recap.